The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. The type of work is a juvenile adventure novel. It's set in the small town of St. Petersburg in Antebellum, Missouri. It features Tom Sawyer, a 10-year-old boy, his Aunt Polly, Tom's guardian, Huckleberry Finn, Tom's best friend, Injun Joe, a half-breed scoundrel, Muff Potter, the town drunk, the Widow Douglas, an elderly townswoman, and the girl who captures Tom's interest, Becky Thatcher. For Tom Sawyer, St. Petersburg was more than a friendly frontier town located on the banks of the Mississippi. It was a place of adventure. A resourceful and scrappy lad, Tom lived with his Aunt Polly and spent his free time fishing, playing, and trying to avoid school and chores. One beautiful Saturday afternoon, when most boys were at play, Aunt Polly stuck Tom with the task of whitewashing her fence. But Tom heard another boy, Ben Rogers, coming down the lane and had an idea. He began to paint with zeal. "Say, I'm going in a-swimming, I am," Ben crowed. "Don't you wish you could? But of course you'd rather work, wouldn't you?" Tom answered nonchalantly, "What do you call work?" "Why, ain't that work?" Ben asked, referring to the whitewashing. "Well, maybe it is, maybe it ain't," Tom countered. "All I know is it suits Tom Sawyer." Ben guffawed. Surely Tom couldn't like the task. "Like it?" Tom asked. "Well, I don't see why I oughtn't to like it. Does a boy get a chance to whitewash a fence every day?" Now, this line of reasoning put the thing in a whole new light. Ben stopped nibbling his apple. "Say, Tom," he offered, "let me whitewash a little." Before long, other children came by and wanted a turn at whitewashing. Not only was the fence soon finished, but Tom also had collected many treasures in exchange for the privilege of whitewashing, including Ben's apple, a kite, and a dead rat, and some string to swing it on. A boy as inventive as Tom had no trouble figuring out how he could attract the attention of sweet Becky Thatcher later that summer. Tom would woo Becky by winning a Bible in a Sunday school contest, and he'd be sure to win by trading marbles and toys for the tickets that the Sunday school superintendent had awarded the children each time they memorized a scripture. The superintendent was amazed when Tom, who had recited very little scripture, proudly presented 28 tickets. To Tom's surprise, when he stepped up to claim the Bible, he was asked to give the names of Jesus's first two apostles. The eyes of the whole congregation were fixed upon him, and although the question was repeated, the boy remained silent. Finally, Tom breathed deeply and almost shouted, "David and Goliath!" In fact, in all of St. Petersburg, there was only one other boy half as high-spirited as Tom, Tom's friend, Huckleberry Finn. The envy of all the boys in town, Huck had no family except for a drunken father, and so could do whatever he pleased. Thus, one night, he and Tom stole off to the graveyard to perform a wart-curing spell. When they arrived, they happened upon a frightening scene. Muff Potter, young Doc Robinson, and a local criminal named Injun Joe were digging at a fresh gravesite. The men hoisted up a coffin and opened it. When the drunken Potter demanded more money from the doctor for helping him secure a cadaver, a fight ensued. Snatching up a knife from the ground, Injun Joe went for Robinson, who had already felled poor Potter with a board. When the doctor spun around, Injun Joe thrust the knife into his chest. After killing Doc Robinson, Injun Joe placed the knife in Potter's limp hand. Then when the man came to, Injun Joe convinced the bewildered fellow that it had been he who had killed the doctor. "Why, you two were scuffling," he related. "You snatched the knife and jammed it into him." Potter sputtered, "It was all on account of the whiskey. I never used a weapon in my life." The two men then fled the graveyard. Terribly shaken, Tom and Huck finally reached safety and swore that they would never breathe a word of what they had seen. Nobody crossed Injun Joe without paying with his life. As it happened, the next day the whole town was abuzz about the murder. After one of the townsmen recognized the knife left at the scene as Muff Potter's, and Injun Joe had given his statement to the sheriff, Muff was put in jail to await trial. And Tom Huck and a friend named Joe Harper, meanwhile, had decided they wanted to leave town and become pirates. Late one night, the three boys set sail on a makeshift raft for Jackson Island. As they spent the day swimming, fishing, and exploring, it struck them that they had discovered the perfect life. No school, no washing, and no one to tell them what to do. That afternoon, however, the boys heard the sounds of a cannon and saw a ferry boat approaching. "Somebody's drowned," Tom cried. "It's us!" That night, after Joe and Huck fell asleep, Tom quietly left camp and returned to his house. Peering inside, he saw his Aunt Polly, his sister Mary, and his brother Sid, and Mrs. Harper, all mourning the boy's death. This gave Tom an idea. He paddled back over to the island and announced to Huck and Joe that they would attend their own funeral. Disguised, the three boys sat through the first part of the service in the church gallery. Then they rustled down the stairs and walked down the church aisle. Needless to say, Aunt Polly and Mrs. Harper were ecstatic to see the boys alive. Doc Robinson's murder, meanwhile, was on everyone's mind, and finally the date for Muff Potter's trial arrived. What with the stack of evidence against him, Muff had to have done the deed. When Injun Joe took the stand and convincingly lied about how Muff had murdered the good doctor, Tom and Huck stood by, expecting every moment that the clear sky would deliver God's lightnings upon his head. God's judgment, however, did not come. Tom couldn't stand by and see old Muff hanged, so on the third day of the trial, he came forward to tell what he had seen that night. In the middle of his testimony, a loud crash rang out, and Injun Joe sprang from his seat and disappeared out the window. Now that he had established Muff's innocence, Tom went back to pirating and to courting Becky. Once she accidentally tore a page in the schoolmaster's book, and the schoolmaster began questioning all the children about it. Knowing that Becky would be unable to lie, Tom suddenly leaped up and confessed. He received a whipping, but won Becky's admiration. Having succeeded with Becky, Tom now set out in earnest with Huck to find hidden treasure. They had just started prying up the floor in an old house when they heard voices. After they crept upstairs, they peered down through the floorboards and saw Injun Joe and another bandit. Tom almost fainted on the spot. The men dug until one of their knives hit wood. Then they removed a box that was filled with gold coins. After discussing where they might rebury the gold, the scoundrels grabbed the box and left the house while the two boys scurried home. Determined to discover where the treasure was rehidden, Huck kept an eye on the tavern where Injun Joe was staying. When he noticed Injun Joe and his accomplice leave the tavern toting a large bundle one night, he trailed the criminals, who headed straight for the home of the kind Widow Douglas. "Her husband was rough on me," Huck heard Joe say. "He had me horsewhipped. Do you understand? He took advantage of me and died, but I'll take it out on her." Huck was horrified. Quickly, he enlisted the help of a nearby farmer, and Widow Douglas was rescued from harm. Soon, the whole town was chattering about how Huck had saved the widow's life. That same evening, Tom, Becky, and some of their friends went on a picnic to McDougal's Cave. After exploring the many splendid caverns, most of the children returned to town. Tom and Becky, however, got lost in the cave. When Aunt Polly and Becky Thatcher's mother discovered that the children were missing, they became hysterical. Poor Tom and Becky wandered from one narrow chamber to another. Becky soon began to cry. Finally settling down to sleep, they hoped someone would find them. When they awoke some hours later, Becky shared with Tom a piece of cake she had brought. Then their candles burned out. Finding a kite string in his pocket, Tom tied one end to a protruding rock and set out in search of an exit. Just as he reached the end of the string, a candle and a hand suddenly appeared 20 yards ahead of him. Then Injun Joe came into view. Tom stood paralyzed by fear, but Injun Joe in his haste had apparently failed to see Tom. Badly shaken, he returned to Becky, and eventually they discovered a small opening, a hole 5 miles away from the cave's main opening, and managed to crawl out and hitch a ride back into town. Becky and Tom spent nearly a week recovering from the ordeal. When Huck finally was able to visit his friend, Tom told Huck about seeing Injun Joe in the cave and about his suspicion that the gold was hidden there. Judge Thatcher, however, had had the cave's entrance barricaded with a triple-locked iron door to prevent other children from being lost there. When Tom heard this news, he turned white. "Injun Joe's in the cave!" he cried. A posse was organized to ride to the cave, and when the door was unlocked, Injun Joe lay just behind it, dead. The morning after Injun Joe's funeral, Tom and Huck made their way back inside the cave. Tom led Huck to a large rock marked with a cross. They hoisted up the rock and found a natural chasm where the treasure box lay. Filling two sacks with coins, the boys stashed the rest of the gold in the Widow Douglas's woodshed. But by the time they reached her house, a crowd had gathered to hear the widow's news. Putting her arms around the mangy Huck, she told him he could come and live with her. Why, he'd saved her life, and forever she'd clothe, educate, and take excellent care of him. "Huck don't need it," Tom broke in. "Huck's rich!" Then he ran outside to fetch the money. The coins amounted to over $12,000. Judge Thatcher put the money into safekeeping and promised the boys an allowance of $1 a day. Huck moved in with the grateful Widow Douglas. He went to school, used a knife and fork, and washed regularly. But he never would have consented to such civilized things if Tom, true adventurer that he was, had not promised to assemble a respectable band of robbers, with Huck as one of its chief marauders. Samuel L. Clemens was born in Hannibal, Missouri in 1835 and spent his boyhood on the banks of the Mississippi. He began writing under the pen name Mark Twain when he was about 26. He is best known for his characters Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Tom, the adventurous, all-American boy, is in reality a rather complex character. On the one hand, he does everything possible to avoid school and church. At the same time, he is highly principled, always trying to do the right thing according to his rather romantic ideals. The importance of this novel and its equally beloved companion volume, Huckleberry Finn, is in the rich, colorful portrait Twain paints of an unforgettable American era.